Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. We trust that you have come and are enjoying being able to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Want to just kind of inform you that over the next several weeks, we're going to be gearing our messages towards Easter. It's hard to believe, but Easter is about 5 weeks away, maybe 6 weeks away. I get mixed up a little bit on dates. I know it's the last day of March anyways. Whether there's four Sundays or five Sundays depends on how many weeks we are out. But this morning, I want us to begin to look at some of the events that took place, and this is what we'll be gearing on for these next weeks, on some of the events that took place between the time when Jesus had his triumphal entry until the time of the resurrection. And so we're going to cover some of those events. And this morning, what I would like you to do is please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture, but I'm going to read a whole passage to you because I want to keep the context going on this. But I want us to focus, if we will, on verse 32. But let's begin our reading at verse 23 and read through verse 33. Here's what's going on. The triumphal entry has taken place, and we come to this passage of Scripture. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. For where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." There came, therefore, a voice out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now, judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Want to pay attention to that 32nd verse in particular, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the privilege that we have of meeting with your people on your day. And Lord, we ask that today, that our hearts and our minds and our spirits would be open to you, and that your Holy Spirit may be able to speak to us in clear and distinct ways so that we might be drawn closer to you. And Father, we'll give you praise and we'll give you thanks, for it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. As we look at this particular verse of Scripture, there are three things that I want us to look at. We're just going to kind of break this verse apart. I want you to notice, first of all, the speaker. Secondly, I want you to notice the sacrifice. And thirdly, I want you to notice the suction. I really had to stretch to get a word that started with S to go with that last one. And so that's why I arrove at. But I want you to notice, first of all, the speaker. You'll notice that as he begins that, Jesus is, and he's not the speaker because the words are in red. He is the speaker because he is God. And when he says, "and I," he is identifying exactly who it is who is going to be the sacrifice that's going to draw people like a vacuum cleaner. See where the suction came in? So he's going to draw people like a vacuum cleaner to himself. And so he says, "and I." Folks, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, but only through the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other authority that is more powerful than any other authority, but it is the authority of Jesus Christ. And so when he declares something, "and I," we can trust and have complete confidence in the fact that he is going to utter to us truth. Several times in his earthly ministry, he has talked with the disciples, and what he has declared to the disciples does what it does with you and I often. Just kind of goes right over their heads. This should not have been brand new revelation to the disciples. After all, they had walked with Jesus for three and a half years. They had sat under his teaching. He had shared with them, and I would love to have been privy to it, but he would have shared with them over and over and over things that he never shared with other individuals and stuff that never got written down. Don't think that everything that Jesus shared with the disciples comes out in these four Gospels. Because several times, also in the Gospels, we read, "and many other things he shared with them." And I'd love to have been privy to be able to be there for those sharings. But it went over their heads. Just kind of missed them. And this particular thing was also one of those declarations that they just kind of didn't get. And we learn that as we read a little later on in this particular week-long event parade that goes on in the life of Jesus. We see again the disciples saying, "Is now the time?" And then even after the resurrection, they go, "How about now? Is this when you're going to restore the glory of Israel? Is this when you're going to take over kingship?" And Jesus has shared with them already, "Look, that's not the way it's going to be. Didn't you guys get it? You're going to have to suffer with the cause of my kingdom." Whew. But Jesus never asked them to suffer before him. Because you see, he doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't willingly demonstrated that he would do for us previously. He didn't ask these disciples to die till after he died. And so he begins, "and I," "and I." So he identifies the person of authority. Now look secondly. He says, "and I, if I be lifted up above the earth," if I. be lifted up above the earth. Jesus had declared, look, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I have always existed. Before Abraham was alive, I was alive. From everlasting to everlasting, I am God. I have always been. I will always be. Go through the New Testament and look up some of the I am passages. Very, very interesting what Jesus had to say, because in those I am passages, if you go through them, you find that he is the I am that existed before the world was ever created, because he is the Lamb of God that was slain before the world was created. I am the Lamb of God. Until you go all the way through and you find out, I am the one who will return. That where I am, there you may be also. And so the promise is that Jesus and the I am, from the existence before the world was created to the existence afterwards, he has had a plan for you and I to be able to be a part of God's kingdom. And isn't that amazing? God wants us in his castle. God wants us in his kingdom. God wants us to share in his glory, in all that he is. He wants us. We don't want him. After we come into a relationship with Jesus, we want him, but prior to that, we don't want him. I mean, let's face it, he just kind of interferes with who we are and what our plans are. What do we want? We want self-gratification. That's what we want. Why do you suppose that there are so many abortions in this nation? Because we want self-gratification. And that child, that unexpected or unwanted child, is going to interfere with that. So, let's abort them. Self-gratification. Why do you suppose that there are so many unwed mothers? Self-gratification. Why do you suppose that homosexuality is such a huge issue in this country? Self-gratification. And God's going to interfere with those kinds of things. So before we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't want him. He's going to interfere. We come to the realization that he has become the great sacrifice so that we can have life. Then we're no longer going, I could have had a V8. We're going, I could have had Jesus. And we enter in to a life-changing relationship with the God of all creation. Do you know why that's possible? Because he was lifted up above the earth. That's why. Because of the sacrifice of the cross on Calvary's mountain, we have life. You'll remember that 33rd verse there says Jesus was talking about this, and he comes down to that declaration and says, man, if I be lifted up above the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And as he is saying that, the scriptures go on and they say Jesus is talking here about how he's going to die. He's not talking about going back to heaven yet. He's talking about the sacrifice that is to come within the week. He's talking about the Lamb of God being slain. Not the King of Kings being glorified. There's a difference. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, lifted up on the cross, lifted up as the pure and the holy and the complete and the perfect sacrifice. And I, if I am lifted up above the earth, now notice number 3, I will draw all men unto myself. You know, people don't get this. You've got your group called the Universalists who say, you know what, that verse right there proves everybody's going to be saved. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. It's not what he's saying at all. I will draw all men unto myself. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. But you know what? This is what it does mean. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what nation you were born in. Because, see, that was a huge issue to the people of Israel. We are the chosen of God. Because we are the chosen of God, we are some special sheikhs in His kingdom. Jesus is trying to say, hey, you boys don't get it. Because clear back when Abraham was made a promise, Abraham's promise was that, look, you follow me, Abe, and I'll tell you what, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed because of you. What does that say to the non-Jew? I have hope as much as the Jew has. I have hope being born in South America. I have as much hope as those who were born in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem. I have as much hope as anybody. But you know what? The Jews didn't get it. And so they didn't become what their mission was, which was to take the Word of God out into the world. They became separatists. They became a part of a holy huddle. That's why they looked at the Gentiles and called them dogs. You Gentile dogs. Because they missed the idea that the plan of salvation was for all men. And so, excuse me, as Jesus is making this declaration, he's going, look, there's going to be a cross. It's going to be planted on top of a hill. I'm going to be on it. I'm going to be lifted up above the world. And if I am lifted up above the world, I'll draw all men to myself. I'll draw the red, the white, the black, and the yellow, and the purple. If there are any purple people, there must be purple people eaters. Sorry, flashback to the 50s. But you see, Jesus is saying, look, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. John chapter 14, first 3 verses. Look at it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will draw all men to myself. Folks, God draws us to Himself. We cannot make that decision on our own unless the Holy Spirit speaks and draws. We cannot be saved unless God Himself reaches to us. We cannot be saved. But because of God's great grace, His great love, His passion for us, He speaks and says, come. All you who are weary, come. Anyone who comes to me, I'll not cast out. Come. He draws. And down deep in our heart of hearts, we know that Jesus is true. And that salvation is through Him, through no one else. No other way. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto myself. You see, folks, early in Holy Week, when Jesus speaks these words, right after the triumphal entry, right after the time of celebration, Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus looks and says, look, there's a purpose I came for. That purpose wasn't for the praise of men. That purpose was for the power of salvation. Salvation only comes through sacrifice. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto myself. You know, we only have the privilege of meeting like this, worshiping and praising God because of what Jesus has provided for us. It's not on our own. It's only because of Him. I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, to seek for Him with your whole heart, because He's drawing. He's saying, if you'll come, I'll forgive. Let's stand. Perhaps you're here this morning and you'd have to say, you know, I know that I've never really given my heart to Jesus because there's so many things in my life that are just messed up. But today, I want to come to Him. I want to invite you. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Nobody looking around. And I want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you know that Jesus Christ is not your Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Is there anyone like that today? I know that Jesus is not my Savior. Would you just quickly raise your hand and put it back down? I want to pray for you. Anyone? Our gracious Lord, we come before You right now. And Jesus, we thank you for your dedication to the plan of salvation, even though it meant the embarrassing, shameful death on a cross. Jesus, I want to thank you for your willingness to follow through with that great plan, knowing what lay ahead. And Lord, even as you related these things to the people, they missed them then, and sadly, they missed them now. I pray for every one of us in the sanctuary today. I pray that each and every one of us would search more diligently for your help and your strength, for your comfort and your encouragement, for your power and your grace. Teach us to be all that you want us to be. Now, Father, because of your great love, we say thank you. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.